முகம் கருதி வாசாலம் பொங்கும் லங்காயதி கிரிம் யத்கிருபா தமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். ஐ பாவ் டவுன் டு கிருஷ்ணா, தி எம்பாடிமெண்ட் ஆஃப் சுப்ரீம் பிளிஸ், த்ரூ ஹூஸ் கிரேஸ் த லேம் ஸ்கேல் மவுண்டன்ஸ் அண்ட் தி டாம் பிகம் எலோக்வென்ட். மே கிருஷ்ணா be the guide of our lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, Divine and Demoniac Treasures. Daivasura Sampatti Vibhaga Yoga. In the beginning of this 16th chapter, Krishna mentioned 26 divine treasures. If you can imbibe those treasures, you will attain liberation. Now Krishna will tell us the demoniac treasures. Asura actually means nasura. You see, the English word demon does not sound very good. According to Vedantic tradition, gods, human beings and demons were children of Prajapati, the creator. Once these three beings went to the creator and wanted some lessons, Prajapati said to the gods, "Da." Then he asked, "Tell me, what do you mean by Da?" The gods understood Da means self-control, Damayanta. Have self-control. Then the human beings also went to Prajapati. Prajapati said, "Da," D-A. Then Prajapati asked, what do you mean? What did you understand from this word, Da, from this letter? The human being said, "I understood Danam, be charitable." Human beings are possessive by nature, so they understood that charity is a great virtue. Then the demons went to Prajapati. Prajapati used the same syllable, Da, and asked, "What have you understood from this syllable?" The demon said, "Dayadham, be compassionate." The demons are cruel by nature, so they understood that compassion is a great virtue. Prajapati used the same syllable, but three persons understood differently. So, when we say demoniac nature, don't think they are really demons. You see, our conception of demon is something terrible. There are three types of karma: good karma, bad karma, mixed karma. Through good karma, a person becomes God. Through bad karma, a person becomes demon. And through mixed karma, a person becomes a human being. So human beings are born out of mixed karma. Now, Krishna says, Dambho dattpo oti manascha krudha parushyameva ajnanam chaabhijatissa partha sampadam asurim. Ostentation, arrogance and self-conceit, anger, rudeness and ignorance, these belong to him who is born to the heritage of the demons. Krishna told 26 divine treasures, but here he said 6 demoniac treasures. Of course, he will elaborate more about these demoniac natures. Dambho. Dambho means hypocrisy. The people whose mind and thought and speech, action and thought are not united. They are hypocrites. I say, thou art my all in all, O Lord, the life of my life, the essence of essence. But my lips are uttering those words, but from the very bottom of my heart I know my family, my money, that is my all in all. It is called hypocrisy. I am attached to worldly objects, but I say God is my all in all. Sri Ramakrishna said to his devotees, give up this hypocrisy, be simple. If you be simple, you will see God. Then you will understand the teachings quickly. You see, those who are hypocrites, they don't listen. Sri Ramakrishna gave a good illustration. If the ground is well cultivated, well plowed, and if there is no pebbles and stones or anything like that, then the crop comes very quickly. If the ground is full of bushes and stones, and if you sow the seed, you won't get the good crop. So first plow your mind, cultivate your mind properly, then sow the seed of God. Immediately it will bear the result. Hazra, Pratap Chandra Hazra, used to live at Dakshineshwar during the time of Sri Ramakrishna. He had some debt at home. So he left his wife and children and came to Dakshineshwar and used to pretend to the devotees that he was a great holy man. Most of the times he would repeat his mantra, showing his rosary. And when the rich devotees would come to Sri Ramakrishna, he would give them advice so that they could give some money to him. Sri Ramakrishna said, "Why, hypocrite. He's pretending his religiosity just to get some money from some people." This is called, it is one of the demoniac natures. Dharpo. Dharpo means arrogance, pride. Sri Ramakrishna went to visit a devotee in Konnagu, the other side of the Ganges, and a man knew Sri Ramakrishna previously. He was bathing in the Ganges. He said, "Hello, young priest, how are you?" Sri Ramakrishna heard his voice. He immediately said to his nephew, Ridha, "Ridhu, this fellow has some money. He's proud of his money, so he addressed me in that strange way. Pride. My husband is the governor. My son is the senator. This is pride. I can do anything." Some people show their wealth. In Calcutta, sometimes in the market, you will find some fisherwomen sell fish also. And one rich man, he had two rings. He was two or three rings. So he was asking that fisherwoman, "How much is the price of your fish?" Showing his three, rings. That fisherwoman also had two rings. She sprinkled that fish water on that rich man's cloth and said, "This much is the price." Money, "What are you are showing three rings? I have also two." This is pride. "Look, I have all these diamond rings. Hey, how much is the price?" He was showing. And these fisherwomen, they are also very good talker. They can give just through some fish water, you know, as if accidentally it has gone through that Babu's cloth. That is called dot. I am the owner of a big company. Like Jodhu Mallik. Sri Ramakrishna had all types of devotees. Jodhu Mallik was a very rich man. And was very proud of his money. At the same time, he had a little love and respect for Sri Ramakrishna. When Sri Ramakrishna would go to visit him, he would not get up. He would lie down and say, "Hello, young priest, please sit down." And he would call his servant, "Please bring some refreshment for the master, for the young priest." Sri Ramakrishna said, "Jodhu, previously you talk about God, but nowadays you talk only about real estate and money. What is the matter with you? Master, you cannot give up your attachment for God. I cannot give up the attachment for God's wealth." You said, his logic was very wonderful. You said that, you know, all wealth belongs to God. So I love God's wealth, you see. Well, Sri Ramakrishna said, "If you think that way, that it is God's wealth, then it is okay. don't think that it is your wealth." Sri Ramakrishna had also all types of devotees. Then Otiman. Otiman means excessive vanity, extremely touchy person. The moment you say something, immediately flare up or arouse. They cannot bear anything. Otiman. That means that ego is so raw so it is extremely sensitive. You see, I do not know whether you have seen it or not. If you fry the luchi bread, it has oil, you know, they make it flat and just soggy. At that time, if you throw it into the deep fat, that, you know, hot oil, immediately it makes noise. But when it is cooked, it becomes soundless. At that time, it pops up, you know, and floats on the oil. It does not make any sound. But in the very beginning, that means that is raw. That flat dough is raw. But when it is fried, it never makes any noise. Sri Ramakrishna gave that illustration. So if a person is extremely sensitive, raw ego, you will find immediately he reacts. Otima. Sri Ramakrishna had a devotee named Mohimacharan. He was very proud of his learning. He would come to Sri Ramakrishna and would recite the scriptures and all his, you know, as if he knew so many things. One day Swami Vivekananda went to his house and he saw a huge library and saw books, so many books. Swamiji asked, "Have you read all these books?" "Oh yes, I have read all these books." So Swami Vivekananda took a book at random from the bookshelf and opened it and found that some pages are uncut. Then Swamiji asked, "What is the matter? That I see it is uncut and you said that you read all these books." "Yes, yes, that book is uncut because you see that copy is stolen. It was taken away by my friend and I replaced it and I did not cut it, you see." He immediately gave an interpretation, you see. Hey, that is one Otiman. "I am a great scholar. All these books I have." It is demoniac nature. Otima. Manamohan, a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, had also excessive sensitive ego. One day Sri Ramakrishna praised Surendra Mitto, who was one of a very generous devotee, in front of everybody. And this devotee was so piqued, he left Dakshineshwar and did not come several months. "Let Sri Ramakrishna live with his rich devotees, I have nothing to do with him." Sri Ramakrishna was sending his devotees to bring Manamohan back to Dakshineshwar, he didn't come. At last Sri Ramakrishna had to go to his place and said, "Manamohan, I was very worried about you, please come." So at last he came and became humble, you see. Krodh, anger. Krodh, originates from desire. If somebody's thought stops your desire, you become angry. Lust or desire and anger are twins. They always stay side by side. Once Swami Niranjananda was coming from Calcutta to Dakshineshwar by boat, and some passengers were criticizing Sri Ramakrishna. He became so mad, he went at the side of the boat and threatened those people, "I shall sink the boat right now in the middle of the river." And they were silenced, you see. They never said a single word against Sri Ramakrishna. He was a very strong person. Then when he came to Dakshineshwar and told the whole story to the master, Sri Ramakrishna said, "My goodness, krodhna chandal. Anger is a very bad thing. Somebody criticized me and you just wanted to sink that boat. That poor boatman, he makes his living by carrying passengers, and those innocent people would suffer if you would sink that boat. My goodness, never do such thing. Anger is no good. The anger of a holy person should be like a mark on the water." You see, Sri Ramakrishna had to tackle all these people. Next, demoniac nature is parushya. Parushya means harshness, rudeness. There are some people you will find always like to hurt people, saying harsh words. Bakshal. Some people take revenge also. That is also parushya. That you did this thing to me, I shall take revenge. It is demoniac nature. I could not fulfill my desire, or somebody has come in between my life, I shall take revenge. These are pure demoniac nature. Demons do that. Tit for tat. Once a devotee came to Dakshineshwar, Swami Adbhutananda, Latu Maharaj, heard that devotee. Sri Ramakrishna came to know about it. He said to Latu, "Those devotees come here for a little peace, and you hurt that person. Though he might have done something unusual, something wrong, but you hurt him. Go to him and apologize." So Latu had to walk 6 miles, 6 miles, 12 miles just to beg apology. When he came back, Sri Ramakrishna said, "Did you apologize?" "Yes, I did." "Did you give my pranam to that devotee, my salutation?" "No, sir." "Go back again." Again, he had to walk 12 miles, 12 miles, 6 miles, 6 miles, 12 miles. And this time he went and said, "Master, sent pranam to you." That devotee burst into tears. Sri Ramakrishna wanted to train his devotee, train his disciple. He sent him twice. He did not allow him to wait in Dakshineshwar. "Go again, right now, go again and give my pranam to that devotee, my salutation to him." Latu Maharaj never forgot that thing in his whole life. You see, Ramakrishna's training is not like other teachers' training. You hurt people, those who come here for a little peace, and out of envy, out of jealousy, you hurt people. One day he said to Latu Maharaj, "I don't need your service if you sleep in the evening here." "Sir, I shall not sleep." Sri Ramakrishna's training. Next, demoniac nature is ajnana, ignorance, which is the mother of all evils. What is ignorance? I and my. Lack of discrimination is ignorance. An ignorant person cannot discriminate between the right and wrong, truth and untruth, real and unreal. His mind is so clouded that he cannot see properly what is right, what is wrong. A deep cloud hovers on his mind. Ami, Amar, Agyan, Sri Ramakrishna said, I and my come from ignorance. Tumi, Tomar, Gyan, thou and thine come from knowledge. Lord, everything is yours. My body, my mind, my wealth, whatever I have, everything is yours. That is knowledge. Hypocrisy, arrogance, excessive vanity, anger, harshness, cruelty, and ignorance. These six are Asurik Sampad, demonical treasures. Vanity and ego originate from Rajas. Ignorance originates from Tamas. Vanity manifests in hypocrisy and pride. Anger manifests in arrogance. Ignorance manifests in cruelty, in harshness. Next verse. Daivi sampad vimokshaya nibadhnaya asurimata masuja sampadam daivim obijatosi pandava. Krishna says, the divine treasures are said to be for the purpose of liberation and the heritage of the demons for bondage. Grieve not, O Pandava. You are born with divine treasures. Daivi sam vimokshaya. If you cultivate divine treasures, you will attain liberation. And demoniac treasures will lead you to bondage. Here Krishna made a clean demarcation line between the demoniac nature, the result of two tendencies. The divine tendency will lead you to liberation and demoniac tendency will lead you to bondage. Ma shucha, don't grieve, don't worry. I know you are born with divine treasures. Liberation brings happiness, joy. Bondage brings pain, misery. Human beings know it, but they are so deluded that they do not differentiate properly. So they are caught by Maya. Everybody knows the association plays a vital role in human life. Today I was reading our St. Louis Post Dispatch. FBI Director William Webster was interviewed by Post Dispatch reporters. They asked him some very direct questions and he answered in such a beautiful way. One thing impressed me very much. He said that these undercover agents associate with drug addicts and bad people and later on sometimes they become the victims. So they do not keep the undercover agents more than 2 years in the field. They have many of them have psychological problems, various kinds of problems. They have special psychiatrist to tackle those undercover agents. You know, it clicked in my mind that if a person, you know, associates and pretends that I am a drug user and spends a lot of money and mixing all these horrible people. And if you live in that atmosphere, your mind will be tinged with that horrible color. Same thing happens if you have the company of the holy. I just took that example and put it in spiritual life. If you have the company of the holy all the time, study the scripture, meditate, your mind is bound to be get that color, spiritual color. It really, that example struck me tremendously it struck me. It is true. I remember I read a story, it is a in my boyhood days. Name of the story is Pho Pha. A man borrowed money from a friend and did not want to pay the debt. That friend was trying to get that money, then could not get it, so he sued. Then a lawyer said to his friend that, you know, you can escape only if you say that you are mentally sick. You know, you will have to think, if you pretend that you are mad, you are crazy. So the court will say, he's a crazy man, what to do? So what to do? But when you go to the court in front of the judge, you only say Pho Pha. So he went to this man went to the court, and when the judge said, did you borrow money from this person? Pho Pha. What does it mean? Pho Pha. He declared himself crazy. Then just, you know, canceled the case. Then when the case was over, then the lawyer came and asked that, now you give my fees. Then he says, Pho Pha. He said, the lawyer, Pho Pha. How funny. So you see, sometimes then another person says that don't go too far, then you would be really crazy. Try to be normal. It is a beautiful statement of Krishna. Daivi sampad vimokshaya. Divine qualities are meant for liberation. Dau bhuta sargau loke yostin. No, I'll have to read. Eknath's comment 2.24. Our Eknath wrote the foreign policy in the commentary of the Gita. I shall not read too much. Some places he went too far to me. Dau bhuta sargau loke yasmin daiva asurei vacha daivo vistarasho prokta asuram parthame shrinu. There are two types of beings created in this world, the divine and the demoniac. The divine have been described at length here now from me, O Partha, concerning the demoniac. Here I read his comment. Almost every day, a physician friend tells me he sees a patient who smokes. I have to tell them they are bucking the odds. He says 80,000 cancer deaths per year can be attributed to cigarette smoking, you know. But people can't identify with the statistics. They just say, I know that, doctor, but I have tried to quit and I can't. What do you say then? I asked. It depends on the person. I never try to scare anybody, but if they have some imagination, and especially if they are still young, I try to bridge the gap in time that they can't bridge. I want them to look 30 years down the road and give the future a fair chance. When I see them, they are in their 20s or 30s. They are still active, nothing but a little cough. They think they will feel like that forever. I try to help them feel that it is like a squeeze with every breath. I describe the panic that comes when you just can't get enough oxygen. I show them what happens inside their lungs and blood vessels. I try to turn the statistics into something real, Then I say, at the roulette table, you at least get to see what you stand to win or lose. Don't you want to see what you are gambling against here? If you lose, you get emphysema, lung disease, or a stroke. If you win, you will get a pack of cigarettes a day. Now you choose. When we persist in a wrong course of action, a good physician has to tell us the consequences. He knows the laws of physiology, and he has seen perhaps hundreds of cases like ours. He may not be able to predict with total accuracy. There are many imponderables, but he knows vividly the sequence of cause and effect in the human body. To us, it is only a vague possibility, but to him, it is so real that if he sees a disease in its early stages, he already sees its end. In the same way, Sri Krishna, noting the signs and symptoms of our times, has to describe what will be the outcome if we do not change our ways. It is not too late to turn back, but the mental states of fatal illness, greed, separateness, and anger are present in our times. And unless they are eradicated, their consequences are inexorable. Here the theme of karma that runs through this volume finds its most explicit statement. We need not dwell on it, but at the same time, we need to know what selfish thinking has to lead to if it goes unchecked, no matter how pleasant and harmless it may seem at first. You see, dau bhuto sarga, this word is very important. Creation means duality, good, bad. Christians think that one day there will be millennium, all will be good. That will never happen in this creation. Shura and Asura, both divine and demoniacal, both tendencies will be here. Otherwise, there will be no creation. If all are good, what will happen? There will be no police. No law is necessary. You see, these two forces are working in this world, in this creation. Destructive force and the constructive force. Some people are making bombs, atom bombs and missiles. And some people are harboring peace. The two tendencies are predominant in all over the world. When the destructive force is prevalent, comes destruction, war. When the force of peace is prevalent, comes peace. God incarnates to bring the balance of these two forces. If there is no bad human beings, there will be no divine incarnation. God will not have to born. Because a lot of injustice, irreligion in this world, so God has to descend. If there is no disease, no doctor, no hospital, so many people will be unemployed. If all people are good, what will happen? If Swamiji said, if all people think alike, then the whole world would be like Egyptian mummies. We shall watch each other because all are good. You won't get any scope to gossip. And sometimes he said, you see, the world needs variety. I remember once a person came and told me, Swami, you know, that person is so bad, I cannot stay this and that complaining. This is a zoo. Here, tiger, lion, rhinoceros, snake, all types of animals we need. Otherwise, it will not be an attractive place. If it is only lion country, safari, only once you see it, that's it. You will never visit that place again. The zoo attracts, if the San Diego Zoo attracts a lot of people because wide range of animals are there. So this is a zoo. You see, all types of people come here. Good, bad, hypocrite, proud, spiritual. You see, this Cinderella's stepmother, if she is not cruel, your love and affection will not go to Cinderella. Your opposite force must work. This is the world order. That Krishna says, Dau bhuto sargo, loki osmin daiva. This is the way this world is made. Both good and bad will be here. If you are intelligent, find out the way of peace, how you can get maximum peace in your life. That Krishna taught Arjuna. Surrender to me. Maiva manadatsa, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi maiva, ata urdham nasamshaya. Krishna mentioned in the 12th chapter, put your mind in me, keep your hold me with your, grasp me with your intellect, then you will live in me. Don't doubt about it. Krishna's promise, don't doubt about it, you will live in me. You see, if we could live in God, we shall get peace and joy. That Krishna told, that secret was told by Krishna to Arjuna, how to live in peace and joy. That is the only thing valuable in life, peace and joy. The lust and gold cannot give eternal peace. Verse 7, Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidura suraha na shaucham napi cha charu na sattam teshu viddati. Men of demoniac nature know not what to do and what to refrain from doing. Purity is not in them, nor good conduct, nor truth. Pravritti and nivritti, dharma and adharma. Dharma means, what is dharma? Chodana lakshartam dharma. The scripture says, do this. You fulfill your desires through right conduct. Follow the injunction of the scripture. Do your duties. If you are a married man, follow the householder's life according to the scripture. If you are a monk, follow your monastic vows according to the scripture. If you are a student, follow your duty. If you are a vanaprastha recluse, follow your duty. The scripture delineates the duties of each station of life. That is called dharma. Practice dharma. There is no harm. That is called pravritti dharma. And nivritti dharma is renunciation, monastic life. That is also dharma. Everybody cannot renounce. So, first go through enjoyment, path of enjoyment, and then path of renunciation. Eventually, all people will go to that stage. All people will have to renounce. Swami, it is a tremendous statement. That is the truth. You see, when you see Disneyland, though it is a very attractive place, if you see 100 times, then your desire for Disneyland will not come. The people who work there all the time, do you think they enjoy that place? They know is everything show. Nothing is real. Everything is show. But children, those who knew, children go there, they think there's the shows, they are real. They have tremendous imagination. Anyhow, in nivritti, peace comes from nivritti, non-attachment. This path of religion, path of dharma and adharma, is very difficult to differentiate. Sometimes if you tell the truth, that is adharma, unrighteousness, that will lead you to hell. Sometimes telling lie is a dharma. So what do you mean, Swami? Krishna and I explain this mystery of dharma in the Mahabharata. There was a sage named Kaushika. He was meditating under the tree, and a traveler passed by. He saw the traveler. After a short time, some robbers came and asked this holy man, Kaushika, could you tell me? I see here road has gone, you know, there road is bifurcated. It has gone two ways. Could you tell me through which way the traveler had gone? The Kaushika, the great sage, told the truth. He has gone this direction. These robbers reached that, caught that traveler, killed him and robbed him. The entire scene of that murder went to that holy man because he told the truth. The scripture says for saving another person's life, you can tell lie. Krishna explained this mystery of dharma. Once a robber became a monk after killing 50 people in his life, murdering 50 people. He became he wanted to renounce everything and wanted to be spiritual. His guru said, henceforth, lead a spiritual life and stay here. So one day that robber was passing by, he saw that another robber attacked an innocent woman on the street and was about to kill that woman. This robber was thinking, I took the vows of non-violence. What shall I do? My guru said, don't kill anybody. Well, I have killed 50 in my life. If we kill one, it will not do any harm. Immediately he killed that robber. And his guru heard about it and said, you did the right. Because that man was about to kill that innocent woman on the street at night time. So he killed 50. He said, if one more, you know, one sin, one unit sin, I may get more. But he did it. Well, why if 50, why not 51? That was his philosophy. Anyhow, these are all stories. But with that mystery of dharma was explained by Krishna in the Mahabharata. Sometimes these people, you know, those who are deluded, they do not listen, they won't listen your advice. Sri Ramakrishna said, you all right, you go and enjoy. Eat hawk plum as much as you can. When you get colic pain, come to me, I know the medicine. So this deluded person who has no discrimination, he learns through suffering. Some people learn through seeing, some people learn through hearing, and some people learn through suffering. They won't listen to your advice. They will put their hands into the fire. Krishna says, not only they are devoid of discrimination between the religion and irreligion, righteousness and unrighteousness. They are ashaucham, nashaucham. They are very unclean people, physically and mentally. Of na cha acharo, their behavior, conduct, is also very bad. Na satyam, they do not follow the truth. Because they have no power of discrimination. Asityam apratishtam te jagadahu anishwaram. Paraspara sambhutam, aparaspara sambhutam, ki mannat kamahaitukam. Krishna further says, they say the world is devoid of truth without a moral basis and without a God. It is brought about by union of male and female, and lust alone is its cause. What else? They are hedonists, they are materialists. Their goal is sense enjoyment. They think that this world, the basis of this world is aniritam, mitta, unreal. They do not, you see, dharma and adharma, righteousness and unrighteousness, control this whole world. They do not believe it. They believe that because my body is unreal, so this world is also unreal. Apratishtam, it has no base. You see, the base of this world is dharma, your duty. That is holding the entire society. If the mother does not follow her dharma, if the father does not follow his dharma, if the teacher does not follow his dharma, if the doctor does not follow his own dharma, duty, what will happen? The whole society will disintegrate. There will be chaos. It is dharma, duty, is holding the society, is holding the country, is holding the family. You watch some families who do not practice dharma, you will find there is mess in that family. Husband is going one direction, wife is going another direction, children are going another direction, there is no peace at home. But these people believe that the demoniac natures, they believe that asittam, everything is untruth. Apratishtam, it has no base. Anishwaram, there is no God, no controller, no ruler of this universe. Well, then how did the world come into existence, manifest? Just creation comes between the union of the male and the female. Lust is the guiding force. Sensuality is the guiding force of this creation. You see, before this Darwin's theory, you know, survival of the fittest, natural selection, all these theories came into existence. Thousands of years ago, this theory was in India. Rinam kritva ghitam pibet. This borrow money and buy ghee, butter, and enjoy life. The moment you will die, you will not have to come back to repay the debt to your friends. There is only one chance. Liberation means get out from the body. That is liberation. And the maximum, and try to get maximum sense pleasure in your life. That is the goal. That is the school of Charvakas. That is the view of the Charvaka school of India. Trivedasya kartaro bhanya dhurta nishachara. Do you know who wrote these Vedas? They are hypocrites. They are shrewd. They are thieves. They are cheat. They put all these ideas into your brain and you are telling practice dharma, love God, which is nonsense. Don't do that. They are powerful school. They say all nice things, charu bak, sweet words, beautiful words, tantalizing words, just to make their, you know, truly make the people good, feel good. Calm, lust is the guiding force of this world. These are the nature of the demoniac people. All right, you can ask me questions. Actually, Daiva Sampada, Daiva Asura Sampada Vibhaga Yoga. Vibhaga means difference, differentiation between divine and demoniac treasures. Of course, you can say, how can you say demoniac treasure? Treasure, we always understand good thing, you know. Good qualities. He translated two paths. Daiva, divine, Asura, non-divine, means demoniac treasures. You see, a demon, we have some ideas about demon, terrible. But these people, you see, among the human beings also, you will find this type of nature. Demoniac nature. Demon does not mean that he is 10 heads and, you know, 20 hands like that. You will find this nature in human beings too, with those 6 qualities I mentioned, Krishna mentioned, those things are all human, are many human beings. I told you that funny story. One of my our friends said to our principal, Swami Maharaj, I have experienced the Gita. All demoniacal natures are within me. Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrittorma amritam gamaya avirabirma yadhi rudranyate dakshinamukam tenamam tenapam tenamam pahi nityam Om shanti shanti shantihi. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace be unto you.